We were challenged this week, different settings, but to, we should never say, I don't have time. I don't have time for this, I don't have time for that. That was the challenge. That was the challenge to us, and I'm giving it to you this morning. And the example was a very busy businessman, a lot of commitments, couldn't get involved. And, you know, he's challenged to get involved in a life group, challenged to get involved in Sunday meetings, challenged to get involved in whatever. And he was busy, and he's legitimate, running a large corporation, large business. But what happened is he's diagnosed with cancer, and all of a sudden he had time to go see the specialists. He had time to get the blood work. He all of a sudden had time. He wasn't so busy. But the point was that it's not the busyness, it's what you prioritize. You have time for what you value. And he valued his health, and he valued his life. He valued where he was at. And we've all heard stories where, you know, people have life-altering situations, near-death experience. Something happens. They're faced with a terminal illness. Something serious goes on in their life, and it causes them to rearrange their life. It causes them to get their priorities right. It causes them to look at what should I really value? And so that was a challenge. We should not say, I don't have time. I don't have time for a life group. Russell just mentioned our life group, so that's on my mind right now. I don't have time to come to worship. I don't have time for what? You know, if a father says he doesn't have time for his children, what he's actually saying is he's not prioritizing his children. He doesn't value his children as much as whatever it is, the work or the busy or, you know what I mean? That's the point of not saying, I'm too busy. No, it's not a point of busyness or what's all the things you're involved in. It's actually, what do you value? What do you prioritize in life? Amen? And so that's kind of where I'm headed this morning. We've been talking in the last weeks about some of our fundamentals, and I'm going to just keep beating it this whole summer. But God's blessed us. There's no babies to dedicate today, so I'm a little shocked getting behind there, you guys. But we've been going through, and if you remember, we read in Acts chapter 2, if you come with me to Acts chapter 2 for a minute. What does Jesus value? Matthew said, Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen? To me, that's encouraging. It's Jesus who's building his church. He is building his church. That's what he values. It's what is priority for Christ. That's what he shed his blood for, was his church. And he said, I will build my church. So that gives me encouragement, but it also challenges me that we have to be involved in what Jesus was involved in. We have to prioritize what Jesus prioritized. What he values, we must value. What breaks his heart must break our hearts. We've heard those sermons over and over and over again. And it's true. And I'm praying that somehow God will sink that back into our hearts if we've allowed ourselves to be too busy and we've allowed ourselves to prioritize things in life that aren't as important as they maybe could be. That we don't have to wait for that near-death experience, that life-altering disease or whatever, to kind of give our heads a shake and say, what do we value? What's important? So Jesus values his church. He's building his church. But the challenge, the meat of it for me is, am I involved in what he's involved in? Do I prioritize what he prioritizes? Is that where my value is placed? So that's where I'm headed this morning, just so you know, and give you a heads up. But in Acts chapter 2, you remember the story on the day of Pentecost. Peter preached, the people were cut to their hearts, and they said, brothers, what should we do? And he said those four things: repent, be baptized, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 41, it says, and so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. So added, there was 3,000 souls added. Added to what? Added to the church. And now here's my text where I'm going to leap off from. Preachers are not supposed to do that. They're not supposed to, but I don't care. I'm almost 60 years old. I'll do whatever I want. It says in verse 42, it's not true. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. These are the 3,000. Wouldn't you? What would we do if 3,000 people were added to this church today? I think I would quit. Imagine. So what did they do? They were cut to their heart. They said, what do we do? He said, repent, be baptized, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they did that. And there were added that day 3,000 souls. So now what? It says this. And they devoted themselves. They themselves. 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 They. Us. Victor, how are you? Good to see you. Your heart's still in there. Good. Wonderful. Bless you. We'll talk after. We've been praying for you, man. It's good to have him. He had a serious, serious heart operation. It's wonderful to see you. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they are selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now that's a church. Amen? Simple. It's simple, straightforward, but it's important for us to remind ourselves again and again and again. So I've already quoted Matthew 16. Jesus says he's going to build his church. Ephesians 4, verse 4 to 6 says it this way. There is one body and one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Hallelujah. So if we say we're the church, coming back to this priority thing and value thing, then we are the church, not this building. We are the church. Then as a church, we should want to be together. We should prioritize that as they did in the book of Acts. And they did it. They did it daily. They met in their homes. They met in the temple. They shared. They received. They blessed. They encouraged. And we should be like that. If you're part of a church. That church. You know, I could talk all day. The trouble with this subject is that it's huge. But it's like the church is invisible. It's this mystery. It's the body of Christ. He's the head. It's the body. All the parts fit together. It's invisible, but it becomes visible when they come together in one place. So there's the universal church. That's what the Catholic Church literally means. There's the universal church, the body of Christ all over the world. And then there's the visible church, the local church, which is what we are. And there are many of those bodies, those families here in the city, and they come together and they become visible. But I need to say this, and I'm jumping around, but I need to say this because I feel it in my heart this morning, is that when we come together, we are his body that all of a sudden is seen, and it's visible, and people can see us. They say, oh, that's the church. That's what the church looks like. And it's a beautiful thing. And it's what God intended for it to be. And so as we come together in the house of God and we make the effort to be here, we are a family. We are together. We are better together. We are more than just our individual parts. All of a sudden, this body of Christ shows up and here we are to encourage each other and to strengthen each other, to bless one another. Amen? The church is what Jesus gave his life for. And when you value the church, and when it comes to reality, or I said it, wherever I said it, it might have been the Tuesday night, but when it becomes revelation to you what we're doing, not just an idea in your head, but it becomes a revelation, it becomes what you are and who you are, you want to come together. and you want to be together and value each other. We are the church coming together on Sunday because we value church and we value each other. When you value church and our togetherness, it's just settled for you. This is what I was trying to remember. You don't have to have this discussion every Sunday with your kids or with your spouse. Are we going to church today? It's just settled. And I would encourage you today to just settle that. Many young parents with little kids here, just settle it. We are church people. We go to church. We don't have this discussion every Sunday. Is this what we're going to do? Are we too busy? Is our lives too involved in things? We settle that priority thing. We settle what we value. We settle we are church people. And I've shared this many, many times, and I encourage you as businessmen, as fathers, mothers, workers, settle that in your life. Settle that in your heart that we are church people. Then when hockey comes along or whatever, I don't even want to start naming things because then people think I'm nailing them. Whatever it is, holidays and so on, it's not a battle. It's not a choice of if that and then that. And I'm not against holidays. Trust me, we take holidays. This part of the world, I don't begrudge anyone to take time when the sun is shining to have time with your family. So don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm just saying in the line of priorities, in the things that we value, you just settle that we are church people. Is that okay? And it's not an argument with your kids and as they grow up and as they become teenagers. It's not an issue. It's been settled from day one in our lives. And you as parents and you as adults, us as adults, we settle that first. And then it's never an issue. It never comes up. And it doesn't mean we don't do things. It doesn't mean we don't travel. It doesn't mean that stuff comes up. It just means in the scheme of things, in the priority of things, this is where the family of God belongs. Is that okay? You received that this morning. And I'm talking to the choir, so this is an easy message because I'm talking to the people who are here, who prioritize coming here, and I want this to be a happy morning. So I'm telling my face to be happy. God's people are happy people. The house of God is a happy place. You're pretty quiet here this morning. I don't know if it's the heat or if it's just you're thinking about the lake or something. I don't know where you've been. But to come together with God's people, you know, Russell asked in the prayer meeting, what do you expect? And all I can say is I expected God to be here and I expected you to be here. And it's here we are. And if you weren't here, how sad would I be? Because I'd be preaching to my wife and maybe she wouldn't even be here. I don't know. I remember when we started the church 8 years ago, I was riding back to Pretoria. I said, well, so far, my wife and kids are here. They haven't left yet. We hadn't started. We were just meeting in our home. But I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that God is with us. I'm glad that we have a church. I'm glad that church is a family of people that come together because they're a church. That's why we come together, because we're a church. Churches do that. You don't need big reasons. We're the church. We get together. There's lots of other things out there. There's lots of other issues and clubs and circumstance. But the church comes together because it's a church. And they pray for one another and encourage one another. And the things that they were doing in the book of Acts, that's what we do. We bless and we pray and we break bread and we celebrate and we rejoice and we wait for Jesus to come back. And we keep encouraging, especially as we see the days becoming evil. And all the scriptures that we've preached our whole life, we just keep doing it because we're the church. And we love the church. So I got a couple of points and then a poem. No, I don't have a poem. I believe the local church is a family, number one. I was with my family yesterday. We had one aunt of my dad's side of the family. They had 8 or 9 kids, and there's one of those aunts left, and it's her 90th birthday. So her family, she has 8 kids. My dad had 8 kids. His sister had 8 kids. His other sister had 8. All their kids had 8 kids. So they called together just those guys. Not like from me down, you're not invited. None of my kids were invited. just us up. And there's 154 of us still alive. I was a young guy, so you know how it is, huh? It's an old crowd. Not as old as Jack back there. He's 60. I'm still 59 for another month. So I'm not that old yet. But it's like, it was good to be together with family. I met cousins, my age cousins, because that's the group that was there and doing this thing. I haven't seen for 30, 40 years. It's amazing what family does, because 30, 40 years, actually, yeah, 30 years, whatever it was, we get together and we start talking about killing mice on our farm. We get together and start talking. Like, we had the farm families and we had the city families. So they like to come to the farm, we like to go to the city. But we were family. So when they came to the farm, we rode horses and we tortured them with that and killed mice and shot gophers and all these things. And when we went to the city, we'd go to the stores and steal and see who'd get the most out of the stores. That's what we did. True story. Sad story, but true. So we'd go into the mob and come out and see who had the most stuff. It was a different day back then. I don't recommend doing it. But families are family. Like, 40 years later, we're family. And I keep forgetting to announce it, but as elders, we're going away as an elder time, and it's my job to announce it, and we're gonna, this is the first time this summer, August 5th, 3rd, 3rd to the 5th, somewhere in there, all of us are going, because we have elders that are not full-time in the church, Russell and I are, we have two couples that aren't, we're doing it over the long weekend. So don't take that as a weekend to say, oh cool, we can take it off. It's the first time in the history of the church we're going to all be away for that weekend, because we want to have 3 days together to pray, to plan, and to prepare. So that's one announcement. The second one is Lori and I are invited to South Africa again. We're going on the 7th of August, and we're coming back the 15th. And when we were there with 3SI, they have a conference called The Call. And we were there for our daughter's wedding. I was feeling in my heart saying, said to Lori, I don't know, it's crazy, but I think I should be coming to this Call conference. I should come back and honor the church that sent us and sponsored us. And that was in my heart. And we went away with a group of leaders of the church, the men, and we had just a night together and a day praying. And they have some beautiful game farm stuff. If you were there, you definitely wouldn't feel sorry for us where we were. That was amazing. And when you come from Canada and you just see that again, it's just amazing. Anyhow, so we are away. And so Rory said to me, we'd like you to come. We want to honor you. We want to thank you. We want to bless you for commitment and what you did. You know, jokingly, he's always told us the best thing that George and I and Colin did for the church in Pretoria is we paid for the building and we left. That's a joke. Come on. But he said, we want to just bless you and honor you. I said, well, I'd love to be there, but we're here for the wedding. You know, you start talking. You say, okay, then we're going to pay for you and your wife to come. They've offered that before and we've never gone. And I'm like, I don't know what to say. And he said, okay, we're going to fly you business class because you're busy, and that way you can sleep on the way there. You'll be here for the conference and you can sleep on the way back. I still didn't answer. I said, okay, I'll talk to the elders here and we'll talk and pray. And it was like, yeah. So we're going to be gone from the 5th to the 8th to the 7th to the 15th, whatever that is, that week. But the reason I say that is family is family. Church is church. And they honored us. They blessed us so much. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to respond. Lori and I talked and we're just like, if you would know what they did for us in Pretoria during the wedding and the church and just how God moved and did things and the ministry that happened, it's, I can't explain it, but all I can say to you is we love the church. Church is family. Amen. Church is God's people coming together to honor one another, to love one another, to encourage one. We are family. And we all have a few weird uncles. And I met a few of the few surviving cousins of ours. There are some amazing guys and some different sort of guys. Sometimes when a family gets together, I said, number one, I believe the church is a family, but it's very fun and it's fulfilling, and other times it's not so fun. It can be boring, but I don't attend family meetings because I enjoy them or always gain from them all the time, but I go because they're my family. We do family things because we're family. But then when we get together as family, good stuff happens and blessings come. And I think a mistake that's been made, I wrote it down here like this, so just let me read it. The last 30 years is believing that church is all about the individual, all about me. It's not. The church is about family. And it's about our father, our brother, our siblings. And I wouldn't quit on my family. It's about family. It's about who we are together. And it's not about the individual. It's about what we can do together. And there's a thought that just keeps running through my mind. I keep losing it, and you have to pray for me this morning because there's something good there that I'm missing, and I'll get back to it. But to believe the church is about the individual, it's coming back. It's when we come together as a family, it's when God moves. It's when good things happen. And he can meet us in a field and he can meet us anywhere he wants. But when we come back together as a family together, there's a corporate anointing. There's a blessing that comes. So when I come to church, it's not just about me. It's just not about, okay, God, what are you saying to me? It's about all of us together. What is God saying to you? What's God intended for you? What can I pray for you? What can I encourage you with? What can this family do for one another? Does that make sense? That it's us coming together saying, I'm going to pray for you. It's us sharing. And there's Sundays when people share more, when they're more open, when they stand here at the front and weep and we share our lives. And there's times when it's not so much like that. Sometimes families meetings are quieter. It's all good. But when we come together, we're better than we are on our own. And a family is a family. And I think the problem that and I just said it, the last years is when you emphasize the individual. No, don't come to church just for you. Come for your brother. Come for your sister. Come for your children. Come. And expect much and be prepared to give much and to do much and to encourage much for one another. That's what family does. And it's not always just the thrill of the thrill. It's God meeting together with his family. We have one father. We have one brother. We have brothers, sisters, siblings. I believe the local church, number two, is as messed up as we are. If you think of the local church in general and us as well, it's still God's plan. That's number two. It's God's chosen method of dealing with man. While God can and does deal with individuals, it's almost always in the context of relationship to family. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Colossians, Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians were all written to churches and church relationships. 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus were written to church leaders about how to properly shepherd church relationships. Paul spent his entire ministry establishing churches and dealing with the messes that ensued. And here's the line I've been trying to get to. It's impossible to understand most of the New Testament without the lens of belonging to a local church. Almost everything the Bible says about church, everything that the Bible describes about Christ and his body, we are a body, we are a family, we are a marriage. Like, all of it relates to us coming together as a body. You take away the corporateness. You take away us coming together. You take away the visible church. That's what I talked about. You can't make sense of most of the New Testament. It talks about family. It talks about ministry. It talks about praying. It talks about reaching. Do everything that the Bible talks about, discipleship and leadership and what area of the Bible do you want me to bring up today? It doesn't make sense outside of a local church. Amen. It doesn't, you can't make sense of it. You can't make sense of most of what God commanded us to do about loving one another and other issues that He deals with, forgiveness and grace and the whole Bible. Makes no sense outside of a local visible church that comes together. And it includes the invisible, it includes the worldwide church, it includes what Jesus is building is much bigger than this. But it does also include us. Includes you and your children and your families and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. And outside of a local church, I don't know how you make sense of the Bible. Outside of us coming together as a family, praying for one another, blessing one another, loving one another, forgiving one another. The whole Bible doesn't make sense if you take away the church. Amen? So, church is family and church is God's plan. And I've preached that too much here, but not too much. I don't speak about it every Sunday like I used to. I don't know, maybe I still do. But I'm a church man. And I said, when it becomes a revelation to you, it's no longer just a thought in your head. The value of the local church, the value of the New Testament local church. Immediately they were added, 3,000. And they began to be a church, act like a church, live like a church. In community. And without that, there is no making sense of the New Testament. And it's the same with us. We come together as a church. That's what makes sense. And I shared it with the leaders on Tuesday night. Thank God for amazing families that want to lead life groups and be part of the leadership of this church. And I forgot what I was going to say, so it doesn't matter. It was a good thing. It's not good to get old. Let me continue, because I could keep beating this thing to death. Peter was part of a local church. Paul was part of a local church. Barnabas was part of a local church. Timothy was part of Titus, John, were all part of a local church. No one in the early church graduated from local church. We're talking about the apostles. Talking about the early leaders who sat with Jesus, who started the taking the gospel of the king to the ends of the earth. None of them ever graduated from local church. Everything they did, their ministry, like, talk about church governance, and I'm supposed to get there in this message, but I probably won't, but talk about church leadership, talk about every aspect of the gospel and how it's organized. You cannot remove a local church. It's God's plan. Amen? It's God's plan. And it's His desire to build the church, and we are invited to be part of it. Okay, here's at number three. Without the local church, I tend to associate with people I like. I like this point, so I carried it on. People who are like me, within the context of the local church, I'm forced to love people who are unattractive, unlovable, and unkind. Without the bond of family, I can simply sidestep the people I do not want to be around. Within the community of the local church, I'm forced to deal with them. I believe that reflects the kind of community Jesus had in mind when He chose to build His church. I believe that is the kind of community He died for. I choose to live within the uncomfortable community of the local church. Lots of us wouldn't choose one another to be friends. And God says, no, I knit you here. This is where you should be. This is your family. You can choose your friends, but you're stuck with your family. We've all quoted that. You're stuck with me. Ha! And I'm stuck with you. But the point of it is that God uses all the gifts, all the aspects of His body. One part of the body, and I don't want to go and preach that, but one part of the body cannot say to the other, I don't have need of you. I don't have need of those older people, younger people, men, women, whatever area offends you. I don't have need of those people. I can do just fine. And God says, no, I'm knitting you into this family for you, for them, for growth, to build something that I'm building, my church. And He's put us in there to grow us to love one another. And you know what I found, and this is all I want to say about it, is when you run from that, and people in this city, I meet them all the time. You say, I thought you were with Rick's church. No, we're over here at the Pearl. No, I thought you were at the Pearl. And there's reasons for that, and people have joined us and have left us, and we love them. We still love them. Not as much, but we do. And that will continue. But what I want to say is, when you just are running, wherever you go, there you are. You got an issue over here, and I come over here. Here I am again, back with my issue. And sure enough, the next leader, the next group you're part of, the next situation, they're going to be pointing the fingers, dealing with the stuff in your life and my life. That's how it happens. And God is saying, no, let me grow you. Let me knit you into a family. Let me put you with a few weird uncles and a few cousins, and let me grow something with you. And you can steal in the local store for a while and see who's the best. God shapes us by the family He puts us in. And I pray that God will just keep growing His church, and not only this one, but His church in the city. And He includes, that's what I love about God, He's big enough to include everybody. And we need not smaller hearts, we need bigger hearts. Hearts that are like God's hearts, that are big, that have room for other people, and people that are look different than us, and talk different than us, and different color than us, and different ages than us, and whatever it is, that we have room in our hearts for everyone, because this is God's family, not mine. And wherever it is, and I'll end this point with this, is wherever God knits you, get in. Don't hold back. I was laughing with Jeff. They have Dave McTaggart. He's the leader of the MFI, which is a network of churches we're part of. He's with him this Sunday. But Jeff asked me to come and speak there. And this month we can't, with all the stuff going on. They're in their new facility. And so maybe in whenever, Jesus knows. But he says, I said, okay, well, give me the notes that you want me to preach in your church. And then I'll invite you and I'll give you the notes to preach in our church. But we were laughing about this thing, is that we need to just encourage people to just knit in. He said, this is what I would like you to speak to our church. And I did at their opening one time talk some of it, but it was like, don't wait till we're established. Don't wait till we're big. Don't wait till, you know, and then, you know, we have 50 musicians, which we actually have now. Isn't that amazing? We have teams that are in Tofield, and we have an amazing team singing here. Remember, Nicole, when it was the Rutten von Trapp family singers? And even I played the guitar and sang. It's amazing that we can bless one another. And what he was saying, going back to my story, is Jeff is saying, and that's what I'm saying to you, is if this is where God's knit you, this is where God's put you, this is the family that God's knit your heart into, and this is it. You are here. You haven't signed anything on a dotted line. We don't have that, but your heart's here. You say, this is the family that God's put me in. Then I'm challenging you to be in. Get involved. We don't have meetings for the sake of meetings. We don't have dozens of meetings, and they creep up. It's amazing how quickly you can start having meetings. But we have a Sunday morning, and in the fall we'll start up with our life group again. Those are our meetings. We have John Finocchio coming in October, and we're going to do a weekend of prophetic, and the Pearl Church and others want to join when we have that. I pray that that can all come together, but they're going to be with us, and we're going to encourage the prophetic. Those types of things, be in. Get involved. Be involved with the families, not just on Sunday mornings, but connect. And I love it when I hear the mothers are praying, and I love when I hear meals are being taken over, and I love when people stand here and testify of what this church has meant to their life. Because that's the church. It's not rocket science. It's not some amazing thing. It's you and me being Christ, being full of the Holy Spirit, bringing life wherever we go. That's the church. And I'm like, so how am I going to do that? It's like last week I'm talking about fellowship and connecting with one another. My wife challenged me. It's not good to preach stuff sometimes, because then your wife's like, okay, when are you going to do that? No, that's for the people. That's the glory, glory, hallelujah. It's like, that's not really to live that stuff. It's like, let's be the church. Church is not just a meeting. Church is not just, okay, I'm in a worship team, so on Sunday that I'm on, I'm up here. It's like, don't make me preach all the sermons over the last 3 weeks. We are His church, and we come together. And number four is we're better together. And we've already said that. Positive, when the churches in Jerusalem face starvation, and you can go on, and I could preach that whole sermon of what we can do together. We're better together. And I just want to encourage that we're starting to just see the taste of what we can do as a family together, financially and sending people out and teams and ministry overseas and all kinds of stuff. We're just tasting that, and we've been doing it, but I thank God we can do it more. I shared the other day that we blessed the Pearl Church with an offering for their sound. I think they needed to raise 30 some thousand. We, from our funds, gave them five. And we didn't raise an offering for it. It's not like if you'd see the plans we have and they're coming, ask Russell what's coming for our new washrooms and the new lights and some of the ministry things planning. We're not giving out of abundance. We're giving by faith. But I want to testify, that same week, we felt we should do it. Just as leaders, we didn't talk about it. We didn't take an offering for it. We want to bless them. That same week, a family who've been around our church, we know them. Excuse me. They don't tend here. Some of you have blessed them, encouraged them, came to thank Lori and I. And they called and wanted a special meeting. And, you know, you get a call, you want a special meeting. It must be at the church and it must be at this time. It's like, oh, I want to say, what's it about? And I usually do, but so you don't know, because we've had to deal with them and we had to be strong and we had to say things. And so they come and we're sitting on those chairs and they start to thank us, and they just want to honor us and honor the church and honor folk in this church for blessing them and helping them. And they just feel they want to give a gift to the church, and they wrote a check for $7,000. So it was like, I just felt God saying, you cannot outgive God. You cannot do more than He can. He has an amazing plan, an amazing family all over the city. And I love that we get to be part of something bigger. And God is amazing. And so let's just keep being generous. Let's keep being free. Let's keep allowing the church to be the church and obey God. And we are better together. I couldn't do that. You know what? I couldn't keep this place going for 1 week, me and Russell. We couldn't. We need each other. We need the gifts. We need the strength of leaders and people. And so I'm just saying, we're better together. Don't sit back. If this is where God's called you and this is the home that He's put you in, then push in here and say, God, what is it you want me to do? How can I serve you right here, right now? And I can testify, when you do that, you reap. You reap a blessing personally, family-wise, in your life, in ministry, in every way when you get involved with God and what He's a part of. The negative side of that is when I focus on what I like and how I feel and what's best for me, I become narcissistic. I almost got it out. But you know that me, 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 me. My. You know, if you remember the old seagulls. When's enough for me? Well, actually, there's never enough. It's like Donald Trump said, when is enough? Just a little more. You know, how much more do you need? Just a little more. The problem when it becomes just about me, and I'm not into serving, and I'm not into blessing, I'm not into giving, I'm not into doing as Christ did, and I'm never satisfied. There's never enough. And once you turn on yourself, once you turn to you, it's that thing of the father who doesn't have time for the kids. And, well, what do you got time for, bud? That's when you need a cancer scare or something. I guess my priorities were all messed up. And I'm telling you, the negative side of not being part of something bigger than yourself is that you turn on yourself. And it is all about me. It's all about me doing things my way. And that's a sad life. It's a sad song too, but it's a sad life. Number five, being part of a local church connects me to the past and the present and the future. And I love that. Here's a quote. says, describes corporate worship as a moment when God's future and God's past arrive in the present, rather as though we were to sit down to a meal and discover your great-great-grandparents and also your great-great-grandchildren turning up to join you. Just, that's a good picture in my mind. I just came from a family reunion. But when we come together, it's like our great-great-great-great-grandparents over here, right back to Christ himself, and our future generation to the fourth generation that we won't meet, maybe, we all come together and we sit down and we have this meal together and we're just celebrating God. Celebrate his goodness. Celebrate the amazing things that God has done. And those early disciples, they met together. Signs and wonders were done. Miracles took place. They broke bread. They fellowshiped. They're filled with joy. That's what the church is. And we need to hear from our great-great-grandparents, and we need to pass this message on to our great-great-great-grandchildren, and we need to carry this message of the local church, of God's church, the church that Jesus is building, to the ends of the earth. That there's a family of God that we can live and be part of and encourage one another with. And so I'm asking you, I'm challenging you, as we go through this summer, we talk about fundamentals. Repent. Be baptized. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be added to the church. Say, God, I'm going to be added to your church. And then the Bible says they devoted themselves to it. I said it last week. I'll say it again. Sounds like a broken record. But we are not here to push you into stuff. Sometimes it feels like that. Come on, sing. Come on, whatever. We're not here for that. And I'm not afraid to challenge. There's times when you got to take your kid on the back of the head now and then and say, get out of bed. It's time for school, whatever. But it's like, that's not all life is about. It's like, let's live life. Let's do a journey together. Let's worship God. Let's do something amazing in the city. Let's take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And I wish we could see it more, just a taste of what, you know, Jeremy and Teresa are part of in Ethiopia that we are part of. We say we just have a small part. But I'm telling you, if they stay continuing working and doing, and we support that, and we support the Pearl, and we support, we are bringing together our great-grandparents and our great-grandchildren together, and we're saying, look at what God is doing in the world. It's what we're part of. And I just want to encourage you, come on. Let's do it. Let's be together. Let's pray for one another. Let's believe God when we see signs, wonders, miracles. We see the dead being raised. We see people being saved. We see lives being turned around. I love sitting with a couple of you. Well, they're actually part of the guys that went to Tofield today, sharing this week when we're meeting together. Just what this church meant to them. I'm telling you, it's good. It's good. It's good. It's good to be together. It's good to have you here, older and younger. Let's pray for one another. This is another announcement. And Lori and I are going to invite the I don't know what to call them ourselves, the over 50s, the silver bullets, I don't know what to call it. Everybody tries to make up names, but we want to invite all the guys over 50. And sorry, Marcy, that includes you. Ha! Just thought I'd mention that. We'll have a barbecue at the end of August and get together, and I don't know. I just am thankful to see over 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s in this place, and the potential. And we don't have to have meetings, we don't have to connect. But if, man, a couple of them have said to me, yeah, we could do some meals together. We could. I'm telling you, if you take just that age group, there's more money, there's more freedom, there's more life than everyone else put together. Hallelujah. We can do stuff. We can have fun. So we'll do that later. But that's the church. Amen? We rejoice when a baby's born. Seriously, there is no greater joy. If there's one thing that people, I'm sorry, I'm not ending and I said I will, but there's one thing people say when they come to this church, what are you doing? Why is there so many children? What's stuff in the tea or what's happening? I love it. I love all the generations because that's the church. And let's be the church together. God wants us to hang together. Jesus said, I will build my church. That sets me free. I cannot build a church, but it also has responsibility to me to say, okay, If Jesus is building this church and Jesus is dying for it, gave his life, he's put this, and I didn't get the government and organic and all the other things, so thank me for that. I'll do that another day. But if Jesus is busy with this, then God help us. Let's get busy with what he's busy with. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for your church. And I pray that as we coffee and fellowship, that we would realize we're part of something amazing that's been handed down to us and that we can pass on to others. So I thank you this morning for each one. I thank you for your life that's in us. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're speaking to us. You're drawing us to one another. You're drawing us together. And as we just love you and love one another, God, there's nothing that you cannot do in this city. I pray for signs and wonders and miracles. I pray that you will heal the sick. I pray that you would save the lost. I pray, God, that you would do what we cannot do as we just come together and honor you and love you and worship you and be the church. And I pray, God, if there's one here this morning whose priorities, values got twisted this week, got forgotten these last months, God, I pray that somehow you would stir our hearts and our priorities would come right. We would value what you value. We would value God and prioritize you and worshiping you. We would value our families. We would value this church because we love you, Father. We love you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.